Eddie, the 10-year reunion. Chapter 2. Saturday, July 20th. Waking up before their usual time on the morning of Saturday, July 20th, Eddie and Kathy want to get an early start to their day. Laying sod is hard work. Laying sod in the heat is even harder work. So, Eddie and the group want to get started as early as possible. And Eddie, Kathy, Mark, and Paula must show that they are hard at work, and on camera, at 11 a.m., when their counterparts will be across town paying Chucky a visit. The dimensions of the outermost edges of the track form a rectangle of approximately 580 feet by 305 feet. Add to that the surrounding areas where the team benches are located and the area between the track and storage building, there is about 5 acres of sod to be laid today. 5 acres of sod is a lot of sod, and installing it is no easy task. John has already applied several thousand pounds of fertilizer over the area where the sod is to be installed. The sprinkler system has been cycling on and off for the last week, making sure the area is properly watered before the sod is laid. The sod was delivered late yesterday afternoon and waiting to be installed. John was careful to make sure the delivery crew spread the pallets of sod evenly throughout the red zone and the bench areas. The bad news is that, if the sod is allowed to sit too long on the pallets, it will die. So, time is of the essence, especially in the heat. The job must be completed today. But John, foreseeing that problem, has about 5 dozen people working today who will get the job done in record time. At 7 a.m., with everyone assembled, getting right to the point, John announces, "Thank you guys so much for coming out today. Here's the plan. We're going to start laying the sod at the far end of the red zone. Once the area in each sprinkler zone is finished, I'll roll the sod and then turn the sprinklers on for that zone. As we're working, we'll be moving toward the launching zone. Once we're finished with the red zone, we'll move on to sodding the outside of the track. Wendy will be picking up the empty pallets with the Cushman. So, load them onto the trailer for her." John asks, "Before we begin, does anyone have any questions?" Not missing the chance to mess with his brother, Eddie asks, "Hey, how come you get the easy part?" The group laughs, knowing that John, although he works out, has an aversion to physical labor. Getting himself out of a mess, John tells Eddie, "I'll be laying sod, too." Paula asks, "When does the pizza get here?" John replies, "Whenever you guys want to break for lunch." Erica strategically suggests, "How about around 11 o'clock? We'll be really hungry by then." Agreeable with his free labor, John replies, "That sounds good." Paula asks, "What station are we tuning our boom boxes to?" John replies, "That's a good question. How about the rock station?" Everyone agrees, especially since having 5 boom boxes playing different stations would be quite disconcerting. With no more questions, everyone gets to work. 5 dozen people head to the other side of the track and begin laying sod. While they are working, Kathy tells Eddie, "You know, we could have traveled to the past and told our counterparts to all show up here. If there were 10 of everyone in the tribe, we'd knock this project out in no time." Eddie replies, "Yeah, until we get caught." Kathy points out, "Then, we would just head back to our portals and be gone in an instant." Eddie laughs and replies, "Talk about trouble. I'd hate to explain my way out of that one, Katerina." Kathy reminds Eddie, "There will be 3 of you at Chucky's house at 11 o'clock this morning. How do you plan to explain your way out of that one, Edward Boganskaya?" Planning his defense well in advance, Eddie tells Kathy, "This is Saturday, July 20th, and I am right here at the high school, laying sod, along with 50 other people. And there's a camera recording everything I do. The Chucky is the one who will have all the explaining to do, not me." Kathy smiles and replies, "Good point." At 10:30 a.m., an unexpected visitor arrives at the high school track. Driving up to the service area is Captain Richard Hayes, who is not in uniform today. Finding Erika among the workers, Captain Hayes walks up and tells her, "Your dad told me that you guys were going to be out here working today. Sandy took the kids shopping today. So, I thought I'd stop by on my way home from the pool supply store and take a look to see how things were coming along." Erika tells Captain Hayes, "We've been out here working all morning. I can't wait to get home so I can go in my pool." Captain Hayes replies, "I'll be in my pool later in the afternoon when Sandy and the kids get home." Looking around at the project, Captain Hayes comments, "It looks like the job is coming along really good." Erika informs Captain Hayes, "The pizza will be here really soon. Since Sandy is out shopping, why don't you join us for lunch?" Captain Hayes looks around and, seeing the group he knows so well, replies, "Sure, if you don't mind." "I think I will." Truth is, Erika told her father, who is now the police chief, that the group will be laying sod at the high school. Erika also let her superior officer, Captain Hayes, know on several occasions about today's event. Erika was hoping that Captain Hayes would make his presence known. In fact, Erika, knowing that Captain Hayes likes pizza, previously informed him of exactly when the pizza is expected to arrive. Late last week, Captain Hayes told Erika that he'd stop by and take a look at the project if he got the chance. At 10:45 a.m., the crew breaks for lunch. With the pizza on its way, everyone uses the hose to wash themselves off. Standing together near the launching zone, Eddie, Kathy, Mark, and Paula talk with Captain Hayes and Erika. Standing in perfect view of the video camera mounted on top of the storage building, the group is careful to ensure their faces are caught on camera standing next to Captain Hayes. On the other side of town, each of Eddie's, Kathy's, Mark's, and Paula's counterparts all arrive from the past and land at Braden's side yard at 11 a.m. Already formulating the plan ahead of time, the group gets to work, attempting to get Chucky to cease harassing Braden and Wendy. One each of Eddie's and Kathy's counterparts walks across the street and knocks on Chucky's door. Attempting to open his door, Chucky forgets that he has two security chains, presumably to keep the police department from kicking his door down. Not wanting Eddie or Kathy in his home to see what is inside, Chucky steps outside and rudely asks, "What do you two want?" Eddie replies, "We came to apologize for messing with you all these years." Dumbfounded, Chucky replies, "It's kind of too late for that. Don't you think?" Chucky really does not think that Eddie came to apologize. For once, Chucky would be right. Pressing the issue, Eddie tells Chucky, "Hey, Chucky. Come on now. Mark and Paula want to apologize too." Chucky bluntly tells Eddie, "I don't believe you." Acting surprised that Chucky is not being receptive, Eddie replies, "Oh, come on, Chucky. We've come to make peace." Kathy then waves to one of Mark's and Paula's counterparts, who run across the street to Chucky's house. Chucky shakes his head and asks Mark and Paula, "What do you guys want?" Mark also tells Chucky, "We came to apologize for all the shit we've done." Quite bewildered, Chucky does not know what to make of his visitors today. Suddenly, two more pairs of Eddie's, Kathy's, Mark's, and Paula's counterparts run quickly across the street. Chucky looks at Eddie and looks at someone who looks just like Eddie approaching. Chucky freezes in a panic and suddenly finds himself surrounded by 12 people. Trying to speak, Chucky gets no words out. Kathy's three counterparts exclaim in unison, "We are Katerina Karakova." Eddie's three counterparts exclaim in unison, "We are Edward Boganskaya." Chucky screams out, "No. This can't be happening. I am going crazy or something." Closing his eyes and rubbing them with his fingers, Chucky opens his eyes again and violently shakes his head, hoping to see something different. Having no such luck, Chucky hears Paula's three counterparts exclaim in unison, "We are Paula Giovanni." Mark's counterparts then exclaim, "We are Mark Svoboda." In a panic, Chucky looks at the 12 people encircling him, wondering what is happening. One of Kathy's counterparts tells Chucky, "Chucky, Chucky, you'd better stop bothering Braden, or next time, there will be a lot more of us coming to visit you." Eddie tells Chucky, "And Braden is very ticked off that you decided to use his pool the other night." Chucky cries out, "Okay, okay. Just go away. Please, go away." One of Eddie's counterparts tells everyone, "Listen to him. The Chucky wants us to go away." One of Paula's counterparts tells the group, "The Chucky doesn't want to be our friend. He's trying to get rid of us. How sad." One of Kathy's counterparts mentions, "The Chucky doesn't want world peace either." Remembering their conversation from Eddie's and Mark's graduation about world peace, Kathy's and Paula's counterparts laugh. One of Mark's counterparts announces, "If the Chucky doesn't want to be our friend, we should put him in our time machine and transport him to Hawaii." Having a flashback, Chucky yells out, "No. Go away. This can't be happening. All of you, go away." One of Kathy's counterparts pretends to cry, telling Chucky, "Okay, then. If that's what you want, we'll go away. But we'll be back. And when we come back, there'll be a whole lot more of us." The 12 time travelers hold hands and begin singing, "Ring Around the Chucky." Chuck is looking yucky. "A tissue, Chuck is going down." Chucky exclaims, "Will you guys please get out of here? Go away." One of Eddie's counterparts tells Chucky, "We can't go away. We're in your head, Junior." Seeing that Chucky is having a hard time coping, one of Paula's counterparts tells Chucky, "Hunter Braden thinks you're the boogeyman. And we are the boogeyman removal service. We're coming back in the middle of the night to spray your house with boogeymanicide. Then, you will glow orange in the middle of the night and croak like a frog when you talk." Chucky exclaims, "You guys are crazy. I'm not going to glow orange." One of Kathy's counterparts replies, "Oh yes, you will." Another of Paula's counterparts looks sternly at Chucky and warns him, "You just wait, you little moron. You just wait. You will glow orange." One by one, each of the time travelers walk across the street to Braden's house. As each one leaves, they tell Chucky how sad they are that Chucky does not want to be their friend. The last to leave is one of Eddie's counterparts, who tells Chucky, "Okay, Junior. I want you to call the police. We were trespassing on your property. Got it?" Seeing only one of Eddie's counterparts remaining, Chucky yells out, "Get off my property. You're trespassing. I'm going to call the police." Eddie's counterpart tells Chucky, "Go ahead, Junior. See if I care. I'll wait right here, and they can arrest me." Perceiving that Chucky is not moving very quickly, using the highly sarcastic innuendo invented by the tribe years ago, Eddie's remaining counterpart tells Chucky, "Waiting." Chucky runs inside, fully intending to make the call to the authorities. Eddie's counterpart runs across the street, rejoining the other counterparts, who head back to their time. Shortly afterwards, a police car arrives at Chucky's house with sirens and flashing lights. Chucky represented to the dispatcher that the situation is a dire emergency and to get a police officer to his house as quickly as possible. Arriving at Chucky's house, Officer Wilson sees no emergency, but rather sees Chucky standing alone in his front yard. Officer Wilson gets out of his car and, seeing who the complainant is, suspects that this is going to be quite an interesting conversation. Meanwhile, back at the high school, as expected, at 11:05, the catering van arrives, and Arianna delivers the pizza and drinks. This time, John gets the pleasure of paying the bill. With no appropriate seating for lunch, the group takes a seat on the concrete surface around the launching sites. Everyone digs in, with the time travelers making sure they can all be seen on camera. Over lunch, Captain Hayes jokingly asks Erica, "Aren't you supposed to be on patrol today?" Erica, who thinks her captain is being serious, replies, "Wilson is taking my shift. I worked his shift over the 4th of July." Captain Hayes tells Erica, "I was only joking." Covering herself, Erica, who takes certain things very seriously, replies, "I knew that. Yeah, I knew that." Captain Hayes asks Eddie, "So, this track is going to be ready when school starts?" Eddie replies, "That's the plan." From what Louis Zeno says, we're way ahead of schedule. Mark adds, "Next week, the benches and stands go in. There's really not much left to do." Eddie asks Mark, "Are you going to set the markers into the curb, like you did at Centerville?" Mark replies, "No. The track is going to be permanently marked for where the starting and finishing lines are, the transition zones for the relays, and where the hurdles go." Knowing, yet forgetting, that all weather tracks are permanently marked, Eddie replies, "Oh, yeah. That's right. I knew that." Mark informs Eddie, "But, I'm going to put the markers in the curb along the sand track, only because they look cool." Seeing a police car drive up and park at the service area, Captain Hayes mentions, "It looks like Officer Wilson showed up just in time for the pizza." Erica laughs and replies, "Police officers always show up when there's free food." Captain Hayes replies, "I hate to admit it, but you're right. But, I don't think we can hold a candle to the fire department. Those characters always show up when there's free food. They can smell it a mile away." Erica comments, "Especially if it's burning." At 11:45 a.m., Officer Wilson walks up, taking a good look around to see who is present. Captain Hayes yells out to Officer Wilson, "Look who showed up just in time for the pizza." Officer Wilson walks over, and Erica tells him, "Help yourself to some pizza. We have more than enough." Officer Wilson takes a seat, glad to get a few slices of pizza. Kathy momentarily walks away and gets Officer Wilson a bottled drink. Captain Hayes asks Officer Wilson, "Is it slow out there today?" Officer Wilson replies, "Yes. But, the crazies are in high gear today. It must be the heat." Captain Hayes asks, "Really? What's going on?" Taking a look around, Officer Wilson explains, "Charles Black alleges that Eddie, Mark, Kathy, and Paula knocked on his door and threatened him earlier this morning." Eddie theatrically exclaims, "Wow. The Chucky has returned. I haven't heard that name in a long time. I can't wait to hear what I did to the Chucky this time." Officer Wilson replies, "You're really not going to believe this one." Captain Hayes shakes his head, laughs, and comments, "I can't wait to hear this either." Reading from his notes, Officer Wilson explains, "How do I even begin? Charles Black alleges that Eddie, Mark, Kathy, and Paula all arrived at his house at around 11 o'clock this morning. Black claims they came to apologize for something. Then, Black claims that they must have done something to him to make him see three of everyone." Captain Hayes interrupts and asks, "Wait a second. This Charles Black character alleges that he saw three of everyone. As in, three Eddies, three Marks, and so on." Officer Wilson replies, "Yes, sir. And he claims they surrounded him and traumatized him." Captain Hayes shakes his head and replies, "Wow. This is really going to be good." Eddie mentions, "If I remember correctly, I kicked the shit out of the Chucky when I was a senior in high school. That would be considered traumatizing him." Paula suggests, "It sounds more like his drugs are traumatizing him." Mark comments, "Yeah. He's been taking too much of that psycho Chubin." Paula laughs and tells Mark, "I can't believe you still remember that." Never hearing about a drug called psychotubin, Captain Hayes asks, "Wait a second. What's all this about psychotubin?" Mark explains, "When we were in health class in ninth grade, Mr. Zunday, who was our health teacher, was telling us about hallucinogenic drugs. So, he was talking about psilocybin, and I didn't know how to spell it. So I asked Eddie, 'How do you spell that?' So, Eddie spelled it out for me, and I told him that I was never going to remember that for the test. So, Eddie told me to do a word association thing, using the crazy gym teacher's name, who was Mr. Chubin. So, Eddie told me, psilocybin sounds like psycho-chubin. So, remember it that way, psilocybin psycho-chubin. So, when the test came, there was a question that asked, list three hallucinogenic drugs. So, I wrote marijuana, LSD, and psycho-chubin. Officer Hayes and those around laugh, and comments, that's an interesting word association. Paula again comments, I can't believe he still remembers that. Eddie tells Paula, he's never going to forget that one. Once the laughter has subsided, Captain Hayes asks Officer Wilson, what else is in this Charles Black character's complaint? Officer Wilson continues describing Chucky's complaint, telling Captain Hayes, oh, there's a lot more. In his complaint, Charles Black claims that Mark threatened to take him to Hawaii in some sort of time machine. Eddie comments, oh, wonderful. Not this time machine crap again. Captain Hayes informs Officer Wilson, if I remember correctly, this Charles Black character claimed Eddie had a time machine several years ago. This is not the first time he's concocted this story. Hearing the crazy stories, Kathy suggests, can't you guys just put the Chucky back in the sanitarium again? Captain Hayes replies, if it was up to me, I'd stick him in jail. At that loony bin over there on Central Avenue, all they'll do is just pump this character full of more drugs. In jail, he'll get a good dose of reality. Reviewing his notes, Officer Wilson continues, also, in his complaint, Charles Black alleges that Paula threatened to spray him with something that will make him glow orange at night, and croak like a frog. Embellishing a bit, Paula exclaims, what? Are you serious? Kathy laughs and exclaims, just put him in the sanitarium and be done with it. By trying to make Chucky appear to be as crazy as possible, the hope is that Chucky will stop harassing Braden and his family. Mark laughs and tells Officer Wilson and Captain Hayes, we've been here since 7 o'clock this morning, laying sod. It sounds like to me that the Chucky has been taking way too much dope. Captain Hayes replies, yeah. I'd say so. This Charles Black character is a real nutcase. Unfortunately, there's no law against being crazy. Officer Wilson tells Captain Hayes, I knew the group was here at the high school today because I'm working Erica's shift. So, I thought I'd come over and check it out. Captain Hayes advises Officer Wilson, just write it up and file it along with all the other 1073s. Kathy asks, what's a 1073? Captain Hayes replies, a 1073 is a mental patient or crazy person. Using her newly learned 10 code in a sentence, Kathy comments, the Chucky has gone 1073 again. Radio for a bus and ship him off to the sanitarium. Yeah? That sounds good. Captain Hayes laughs and replies, exactly my sentiments. Adding to the evidence pile, Eddie tells Officer Wilson, that's my gold dune buggy out there in the parking lot. Check the engine. It's stone cold. Paula adds, the orange dune buggy is mine. My engine is cold, too. Captain Hayes tells Officer Wilson, in fact, check all the engines in the parking lot and write down all the tag numbers. The next time we pull this Charles Black character in on drug charges, having a charge of filing a false police report in our back pocket will work in our favor. Pointing out the camera on the storage building, Kathy tells Captain Hayes, Angela set up a time-lapse video camera on the storage building to document the progress of the track. Louis Zeno was going to use it to show his future clients how a track gets put in. Captain Hayes interrupts and asks, wait a minute. That camera has been recording you guys out here all morning. Kathy replies, yeah. And it's been recording what happens out here every day since June, when the project began. Captain Hayes asks Kathy, who is this Angela character? Kathy replies, Angela Meadows. She works at the television station, along with Mitchell and Hoffa. Captain Hayes asks, "Wait a second. Is this the same Angela Meadows who's down on the field during football games?" Kathy replies, "That would be her." Captain Hayes directs Officer Wilson, "Make a note of that for your report." Officer Wilson, who has been taking notes, replies, "I got it down, Captain." Having enough information for his report, Officer Wilson relaxes for a few minutes, enjoying another slice of pizza. Finished with his lunch, Braden walks over, suspecting that he already knows what this conversation is about. Braden asks, "What's up?" Officer Wilson gives Braden the short version of what happened with Chucky. Eddie and the others will fill Braden in later with the details of Officer Wilson's findings. Not the least bit sad to see Chucky traumatized, Braden tells Captain Hayes and Officer Wilson, "Ever since that asshole moved in across the street from me, there's been trouble around there. Somebody shot a BB through my garage door window. Somebody set my garbage can on fire. Somebody let the air out of all four of Wendy's tires. Somebody threw rocks in my pool. Somebody put gasoline on my lawn and spelled out ass. And I caught Chucky swimming in my pool at midnight. The list goes on forever. Whose ass do you think is responsible for all that shit?" Sounding a bit like Mr. Zunday, Mark replies, "I'm going to take a wild guess and say it was the Chucky." Braden agrees, stating, "None of this shit happened before his ass moved in. That is one seriously crazy dude." Captain Hayes replies, "I can't say I disagree with you." After lunch, Officer Wilson gets back on the road. Captain Hayes heads home and will spend the rest of the afternoon in his pool with his family. The day laborers get back to work, laying the rest of the sod. John takes it upon himself to clean up after lunch, placing the trash into bags, likely because cleaning up is far less strenuous than laying sod. As they are laying sod, Kathy mentions to Eddie, "Speaking of Chucky, I think we have a problem." Eddie asks, "What's that?" Kathy asks Eddie, Mark, and Paula, "Do you guys remember when we were headed to the beach like 5 or 6 years ago and Chucky shot an arrow into Paula's front wheel?" Paula replies, telling Kathy, "I'm never forgetting that one, girl." Kathy explains, "Well, when Eddie and Mark transported Chucky to Hawaii, Chucky came back on an airplane. He never came back through the portal, so he never returned to his proper place in time. But Eddie and Mark returned through the portal." Paula asks, "So, Chucky is living in some sort of distorted time?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. But I haven't figured out how or if that matters." Mark comments, "The Chucky has always been living in some sort of distorted time. It's the psycho Chubin." Eddie asks, "So, if Chucky flies to Hawaii and goes back through the portal, then he would be transported back several years in the past?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. Exactly. Well, I think. Now, I'm not so sure." Mark comments, "If that happened, it wouldn't go over too well." Paula agrees, telling everyone, "Yeah, I'd say. Talk about a mess." Kathy mentions, "It's not likely that the Chucky would fly to Hawaii, find the location of his return portal, and step into it." Paula suggests, "Who knows? Maybe the return portal isn't even there since Eddie and Mark returned through it." Kathy replies, "That's scary. But we've returned through the portal separately before. So, I'm still thinking that if the Chucky goes through the portal, he'll return to the boulders along the parkway." Mark suggests that would traumatize him forever. After laying a few more pieces of sod, Kathy exclaims, "Now, this makes a lot of sense." Eddie replies, "Okay, Katerina. Out with it. What are you talking about?" Kathy explains, "Well, you know how time doesn't elapse in our world when we go through the portal, right? But time elapses where we travel to in the portal. So time is elapsing for us here, and for Chucky, who is also here. But Chucky is on an alternate timeline since he went through the portal and never came back." Paula exclaims, "That's right." Mark asks, "Did we do that to anyone else?" Kathy replies, "No. But in the Red Universe, my counterpart did that to Chucky, Chucky's mother, Haynes, Goldschmidt, and Donna and Dana Harmon." Mark replies, "Wow. She's been busy." Paula tells Mark, "In the Red Universe, Kathy's counterpart has absolutely no mercy on those assholes." Mark asks, "How about in the Blue Universe?" Kathy replies, "In the Blue Universe, no. My counterpart is, how do I say this, a lot nicer than me." Mark smiles, now thinking of more ways to mess with Chucky and his gang. By 4 p.m., all the sod is laid. It takes the crew less than 20 minutes to clean up, which involves dumping the bags of trash from lunch in the school's dumpster, neatly stacking the empty pallets, and loading the tools back on John's truck. John's hired workers head out for the day, leaving the tribe to stand back and admire their hard work. Eddie asks Mark, "So, what's left to do?" Mark replies, "Next week, the benches and stands will go in. The stands have to be assembled on site. I have to put the final layer of sand on the sand track and mark it at 50 meters and 100 meters. And I have to connect the electrical supply for the team benches. John still has a lot left to do, but it's all minor stuff. He's got to put down more fertilizer and reprogram the irrigation system. He also has to install a few bushes here and there. And he has to make sure we didn't bury any sprinkler heads out here today." Eddie suggests, "You ought to get John to put a few bushes around the storage building. It will soften it up a bit." Mark replies, "That would kind of look nice." Almost as an afterthought, Mark then tells Eddie, "Oh. And get this. I have to put a dedication plaque on the new dumpster enclosure I built for the administration building." Eddie asks, "What happened to the old enclosure?" Mark replies, "They had a rookie driving the garbage truck, and he destroyed it. So, Dr. Brooks asked me if I could build a new enclosure." Paula asks John, "What time are we getting pizza?" John replies, "What? Pizza twice in one day." Paula tells John, "No. I'm getting a calzone for dinner." Kathy whispers to Paula, "Hey. I thought you once said a calzone is the same as a pizza." Paula whispers back, "It is. But John doesn't know that." Not expecting to pay for dinner too, John hesitantly announces, "How about 7 o'clock?" Everyone agrees, and we'll meet at the pizzeria at 7 o'clock. Kathy, however, will spare John from paying the dinner bill. But John doesn't know that. On the way home, Eddie asks Kathy, "Do you want to stop by the Chucky's house on the way home and traumatize him?" Kathy laughs and tells Eddie, "Sure. But we'd better not. We've already done enough damage for one day." Eddie mentions, "I wonder if the Chucky will have anything to say to Braden the next time he sees him." Kathy replies, "I'm sure we'll find out."